The Republican Party in the early 20th century was well represented in the Senate and House galleries here in the nation's capital. The debates and speeches on the floors of Congress became the equivalent of town hall meetings in the District of Columbia. But for many decades, a house at 2009 Massachusetts Avenue was the real hub of Washington politics. That's because Alice Roosevelt Longworth lived there. The four-story house is still in DuPont Circle. Mrs. Longworth lived here through the demonstrations in the 1960s and 70s. She said the tear gas cleared her sinuses. She died peacefully here in 1980, a few days after her 96th birthday. In front of her house now, there is a bus stop. Do you know who lived there?
Yes, I do. I've even seen her in person.
Who lived there?
Roosevelt.
Alice Roosevelt Longworth. What do you know about her?
I saw her a long time ago in a bookstore in Georgetown, very elegantly dressed.
How long ago was that?
A long time.
Do you know who used to live in this house?
No.
Alice Roosevelt Longworth. Is that a name that means something to you?
Well, the Roosevelt part, I don't know.
is that FDR's wife?
No, it's Theodore Roosevelt's daughter. Alice Roosevelt Longworth was born in 1884. She was a teenager when her father, Theodore Roosevelt, was elected president. Alice lived in the White House and smoked cigarettes on the roof. She attended social events unescorted with a boa constrictor around her neck. Songs were written for her, and Alice blue became a fashionable color. Newspapers dubbed her Princess Alice. She was a global celebrity. In her 20s, Alice Roosevelt married Ohio Congressman Nicholas Longworth in a gala ceremony at the White House. Mrs. Longworth later became the lover of Idaho Senator William Borah, the father of her only child, Paulina. During her adult life, Alice was a powerful political gadfly. The country's top thinkers and players would walk through the door to her house to eat creme brulee, converse, and hear what Alice had to say.
My father had a way of saying, how do you feel? And he said, I'm as fit as strong as a bull moose. They continued to be a bull moose party. And they elected Oscar Strauss, and they had a facetious little rhyme, which was, those crazy bull musicians, they must have had a souse. They played Onward Christian Soldiers while nominating Strauss. And that now would be considered miserably racist. Well, then, nobody bothered. Say, racism has reared its horrid head, not a bit.
Alice's sharp tongue disguised a vulnerable and troubled soul, according to biographer Stacy Cordry. The historian had access to love letters, diaries, and a trove of other documents for her book, Alice Roosevelt Longworth, From White House Princess to Washington Power Broker. Cordry said Alice Roosevelt's insecurities were a result of her relationship with her father, Theodore.
It was a distant relationship physically for the first 3 years of her life because for large chunks of her first 3 years, Theodore Roosevelt was out west grieving the double loss of his wife and his mother. And then when Alice was about 3 and a half, Theodore Roosevelt remarried, and then Alice joined that family, and she always felt like the outsider in the nursery, but she idolized her father. It's very clear that she wanted his attention, sought his attention, and when she could not get his attention, she used the adulation of the public when she became first daughter as a sort of a stand-in for what she couldn't get from her father.
She was known to view the world with, and I'm going to put it in quotations, detached malevolence. Was she a mean person?
You know, I think that is the general perception of Alice Longworth, particularly in her last several decades. But I had an epiphany about this. If she was that mean, if she was truly cruel, why would she have so many friends? Why would her home be the most sought-after ticket in Washington, D.C., from the 1920s to the 1960s? So she could see into those who were obsequious, those she thought were disingenuous, and she took straight aim at people like that. She saw straight through Senator McCarthy, and he was saying that he was just going to call her Alice, and she looked at him and said, "The truck man, the trash man, and the policeman on the block may call me Alice, but you, Senator McCarthy, will call me Mrs. Longworth."
She was a political activist. Her suite in a Chicago hotel was, during the political conventions, was the smoke-filled room
That's right.
Where the deals were made. Why didn't she run for office?
She was shy.
No.
Yes. Alice was brilliant one-on-one. Everyone told me about how scintillating, how erudite she was in conversation. But when she was in front of a large crowd, people she didn't know, that was something very different. Alice was not the sort who could slap backs and kiss babies and go to pancake suppers. That was not her style.
Why did you take on this subject?
This project grew out of a class I had in graduate school where I studied with a brilliant historian named Lewis Gould, and I was going to work on Eleanor, and he said, you know, lots of people have looked at Eleanor, but why don't you take a look at Alice? And I said, who? So once I started looking, I realized she was a fascinating woman. Her first daughter years were amazing. The way young Americans copied Alice Roosevelt, copied her dress, copied her habits, copied the way she carried herself. I thought, wow, this was something really different.
Why is it important that we know who she is?
I think Alice Longworth has an inherently interesting life. She was able to widen the sphere of possibilities for women in America at the time. And I think that becoming a celebrity at a very young age and then being a celebrity for all of her 96 years and the way she dealt with her celebrityhood, the way she used her fame, is a wonderful story.
Is there a question that you would have liked to have asked Alice when you were writing the book?
I will tell you, the part of the puzzle of her life that did not make sense to me until very late was the one to which you responded most strongly, and that is about her being shy. And I guess one question I would ask her is, how did that shyness really work out? Because you're right. What we know of Mrs. Longworth are the witticisms. She called herself a withered Twiggy in her last decades because she was very thin, and it reminded her of Twiggy the model. You know, she called herself Washington's only topless octogenarian after she had a double mastectomy. How these witticisms are built on the things that she read and the movement she studied, I understand. But the shyness at the center of a salon that was famous around the world, that surprises me. And I might have asked her that. I might also ask her if I could play What If History with Mrs. Longworth. If she had lived at another time in history, would she have sought political office? Many people considered Alice Longworth the smartest of all the Roosevelt children, the one with the most political savvy. And I wondered during this book whether, had she lived 20 years later, 50 years later, would she have run for political office? I think I would ask her those two questions.
Stacy Cordery is the author of Alice, a new biography of Alice Roosevelt Longworth, published by Viking, and she joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.